Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Owning Our Future, The Emerging Ownership Revolution is a nonfiction book by Marjorie Kelly that examines how ownership structures shape the economy, social outcomes, and long-term sustainability. Positioned between business analysis and public affairs writing, the book argues that many modern firms are organized around extractive ownership, where returns are concentrated for a narrow group and short-term financial gain dominates decision-making. Against that model, Kelly introduces generative ownership, a framework intended to support long-term value creation, community well-being, and ecological resilience. The book is not a technical economics text, but a clear, accessible argument for readers interested in democratic enterprise, cooperatives, employee ownership, and other alternatives to conventional shareholder primacy. Drawing on real-world examples from different sectors and countries, it shows how ownership design can either intensify systemic crises or help build institutions that serve broader human and environmental goals. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, extractive ownership as a driver of inequality and instability. A central argument in the book is that ownership is not a neutral legal detail, but the underlying architecture of the economy. Kelly contends that when businesses are designed primarily to maximize financial returns for a small ownership class, they tend to push costs outward onto workers, communities, and ecosystems. This extractive pattern encourages short-time horizons, aggressive cost-cutting, and a constant pressure for growth, even when growth increases inequality or ecological damage. The book uses this diagnosis to explain why reform efforts that focus only on ethics, voluntary responsibility, or better management often fall short. Kelly's reasoning is structural. If the ownership system rewards extraction, individual goodwill cannot reliably overcome it. That makes the book especially interested in redesigning institutions, rather than simply improving corporate behavior. The economic crisis and recurring social problems are presented not as isolated failures, but as symptoms of a deeper ownership logic that needs to be changed. Secondly, generative ownership as a long-term alternative to shareholder primacy. Kelly's alternative is generative ownership, a model intended to create the conditions for life over many generations rather than extract maximum value in the short run. The concept is meant to describe organizations whose ownership structure supports stability, stewardship, and reinvestment. In this framework, the point of enterprise is not to enrich absentee owners as quickly as possible, but to preserve and grow value in a way that benefits a wider set of stakeholders. The book emphasizes that generative ownership is not a single business form. It is a design principle that can appear in cooperatives, employee-owned firms, foundation-owned companies, and community-owned enterprises. This matters because Kelly is not offering a one-size-fits-all blueprint. Instead, she argues that different ownership forms can share common traits if they orient power and returns toward durability rather than extraction. The result is a practical way to imagine a more resilient economy without relying on vague appeals to corporate goodwill or abstract market optimism. Thirdly, five design patterns that make democratic enterprises workable. One of the book's most distinctive contributions is its identification of five essential patterns of ownership design that help generative organizations function. These patterns are open membership, democratic member control, cooperation among cooperatives, concern for community, and sustainability. Kelly treats these as design features rather than idealistic slogans, because they help explain why some enterprises remain accountable to broader purposes over time. Open membership broadens participation, democratic control limits concentrated power, cooperation among cooperatives encourages mutual support instead of isolated competition. Concern for community embeds local responsibility, and sustainability keeps attention on long-term survival. Together, these principles create institutional checks against extraction. The significance of this framework is analytical as well as practical. It gives readers a vocabulary for evaluating whether an organization is truly different from a conventional corporation or merely marketing itself as socially responsible. Kelly's emphasis on design also makes the book useful for policymakers, organizers, and business leaders who need criteria for building better institutions rather than simply endorsing better intentions. Fourthly, global case studies show ownership can be redesigned in many sectors. The book strengthens its argument through examples from different countries and industries, showing that generative ownership is not confined to theory or to one national context. Kelly points to a community-owned wind facility in Massachusetts, a lobster cooperative in Maine, an employee-owned department store chain in London, a foundation-owned pharmaceutical company in Denmark, and a farmer-owned dairy in Wisconsin. These cases matter because they demonstrate that ownership alternatives can work in energy, retail, medicine, and agriculture, which are very different sectors with different capital needs and governance challenges. The examples also help the book avoid the common weakness of utopian economic writing, which is to describe alternatives without proving they can operate at scale or survive in competitive environments. Kelly's approach is comparative. She examines actual institutions that already embody more democratic or steward-oriented forms of ownership. This gives the book empirical weight and allows readers to see ownership reform as a series of adaptable practices rather than a distant ideal. The cases suggest that institutional diversity is possible within modern economies. Lastly, why the book matters as public affairs writing for a democratic economy. Owning Our Future stands out because it speaks to broad public concerns without becoming either a technical policy manual or a narrow business book. Kelly writes for general readers, but she draws on deep knowledge of corporate governance and economic design, which gives the book an unusual mix of accessibility and seriousness. Its real contribution is to shift the reader's attention from symptoms such as inequality, financial crises, and ecological strain toward the ownership rules that help generate those outcomes. That framing is valuable because it invites a more foundational kind of economic thinking, not only how markets behave, but who owns productive assets, who controls them, and who benefits from them over time. The book is especially relevant to readers interested in cooperatives, sustainability, employee ownership, community wealth building, and alternatives to shareholder primacy. It is less a prediction than a structured invitation to rethink economic institutions. Compared with many books in the same category, it is distinctive for combining critique, real-world examples, and a coherent design language for a democratic economy. In conclusion, this book is best suited to readers who want to understand why ownership matters as much as, or more than, business behavior alone. It will be especially useful for students of economics, social enterprise, corporate governance, sustainability, cooperative development, and anyone trying to make sense of why conventional capitalism repeatedly generates inequality and instability. Kelly offers practical intellectual benefits. She provides a clear framework for distinguishing extractive from generative institutions, and she gives readers a set of design principles for evaluating alternatives. The book also helps bridge the gap between criticism and action by showing that better ownership structures already exist in multiple sectors and countries. What sets it apart from many books in the same genre is its focus on ownership as the hidden architecture of the economy. Rather than relying on abstract calls for reform, it explains how institutional design shapes behavior and outcomes. That makes the book useful both as a diagnosis of current problems and as a guide to imagining a more durable economic future. Readers looking for a grounded, system-level alternative to business as usual will find it particularly distinctive. If you would like to support Marjorie Kelly, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.